Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison, and it is just me today for a solo episode. Kara is with her family, and they had a schedule change with their travel plans. So I am winging it solo today. I've had the episode topic about accepting the responsibilities of adulting in my back pocket for a little while. It's just been something I've been thinking about more over the last couple of months. Probably a lot of that is because I'm pregnant, of just really feeling like, wow, I'm growing up. I'm 30 now and entering a new era of my life. And with our big move from Mexico to the Netherlands, there was so much logistics and paperwork and responsibilities that in the midst of all of those tasks, I've been trying to find joy in other areas of my life and even joy in those processes. So I wanted to talk about how to maintain a youthful spirit, how to still have fun, how to keep a positive attitude when the going of adulting can start to feel a little mundane or rough. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the episode. First, as always, we do our catch-up segment. Then we share peaks of the week. And then we do the topic. So for catching up, I am recording from my apartment in Haarlem, Netherlands. It's right outside of Amsterdam. It is a Monday afternoon. Clay and I are having a really hard time coordinating our schedules because all of his personal training clients are on Central Time back in the Midwest. And then my secondhand shop is also in Omaha on the same central time zone, and Kara's on the same time zone. So pretty much everything to do with our work. Oh, and all my Airbnb clients, all in the Midwest. So our mornings are pretty chill, but we have to get our own workout in, eat, do errands. And then it's like once 2 o'clock hits, we are both trying to hop on calls, coordinate schedules, share the desk, and not be on top of each other. So that has certainly taken some getting used to. I mean, we're only on week one here, so it will get smoother. But right now, Clay is like in between his calls, so I have 40 minutes to knock out this episode really fast. So if I'm talking quickly, or if this is a shorter episode, that is why, because we've had a tight schedule, especially on Mondays. But as far as moving into our new place, it's going pretty well. I was thinking that it was kind of funny that the very first purchase that we made for our apartment was a mirror. I was looking on Facebook Marketplace and there was just this gorgeous full body. It's taller than me, so it's probably 6 foot mirror, maybe 3 feet wide for 200 euros. And it's just so pretty. I was like, I mean, we don't even have a mattress yet. We don't have chairs. We don't have cups or glasses or plates in the kitchen yet, but I'm like, but we need this mirror. And the owner of it was kind enough to actually bring it to our place. So the very first moving purchase that we made for our new place was a mirror. But I love her and she's gorgeous and she's like the statement of the living room. And then we made progress. We got a bed, technically two beds. We are doing the Scandinavian style, which is two twin XLs next to each other. This is a little bit more common over here. One, because of the size of homes, the staircases or the hallways can be really narrow. We are on the main floor, so we probably could have gotten a king in, but it's just a lot harder to move around king bed frames and king mattresses. And there's also a lot of benefits to the Scandinavian sleep style by having separate fitted sheets and separate duvets. You can sleep better because you don't feel your partner like tugging on the duvet, or if they're a hot sleeper and you're a cold sleeper, you can have different bedding that suits your comfort. And I think I've talked about it, but previously Clay and I had two separate bedrooms. I just am a light sleeper, so any sounds or movement wakes me up, and I really like to have a good night's sleep. So as we're adjusting to sharing a bedroom, we were like, well, maybe it would make it easier if we did two twin XLs next to each other instead of one shared mattress. And then we looked it up and we're like, oh, I didn't even know this is a thing. So it was relieving that I'm not just being insane, that this is actually a studied method and it's common over here and that there's some benefits to it. So something to consider if you also struggle sharing a bed with your partner. You could look into that. There is a lot of pros. Pretty much the only downside is like the aesthetics. It's a little different and it can be slightly more expensive to have to buy two bed sets. And then this allows like freedom to get whatever you each individually want. So I think it's kind of fun. And then we got an outdoor patio set. I am going to talk about that a little later, but that was really, really exciting with an umbrella and a rug underneath it. So the backyard garden is really coming along. I'm trying to channel my inner Jessie. She's one of my best friends and she just has an iconic backyard. She's put in so much work over the years to the yard of the house that she owns. And so when I was looking at our garden, I'm like, what would Jessie do? So I'm like trying to think. I'm like, okay, we need a grill. We need a pizza oven. We definitely need more plants. We need an umbrella. But it looks pretty good so far, I think. And what else? Oh, we got a couch. That was a hassle. We bought it off of Facebook Marketplace. And being from Omaha, where my family is from, I have two stepbrothers. My dad's there. Clay's dad, he has some brothers. They don't all live there. But between our friends and our family, when it's time to move, there's usually not a shortage of a male or a couple males that can help. And my dad has a truck and a trailer. So when I contact this couple, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to buy your couch. It's cute. They're from Italy and they're moving to the States. Honestly, they were so cute. It was this gay couple and they gave us a bunch of other stuff for free, like some baskets and a lamp and a bread box. I was like, wait, I'm sad that you guys are moving. But I'm used to just like being able to use my dad's truck and pick up whatever I need from Facebook Marketplace or a thrift store, anything secondhand. So I tell these guys, like, yeah, I'd love to buy your couch. Well, we don't know someone with a pickup truck. Pickup trucks are not very common in Europe. So we're trying to rent a van, and the van company only has manual transmission vans and no automatic. And Clay and I do not know how to drive stick shift, which I'm kicking myself because it's something I always wanted to learn. My ex had tried to teach me, but I stalled his car and then I got nervous and never tried again. But I wish I would have just persevered because I'm like, this is one of those moments where I really wish I knew how to do that. That would have helped. But thankfully, this couple was so nice to literally come to the van place, pick it up, drive it to our house, and then take it back. Very, very kind people. And now we have a couch. So things are coming along. One thing I haven't gotten yet that I really need to do is a bicycle. I have been walking so much everywhere, which I love to walk. It's so fun. But there are some places that are pretty far. Like my favorite coffee shop I want to go to every day is 27 minutes walking, which is kind of a jaunt. each way just for a matcha. And I'm like, but that would be a really nice, like, I don't know, 10-minute bike ride. And some of the stores, like the grocery store, it would just be easier with a bike, not having to walk all the time. And my feet have been sore from all this walking. So I am hoping today to go to some secondhand bike shops and see if they have anything that will work. Originally, I was thinking of getting like a really nice, super cute, like aesthetic Instagram bike. But the way everyone parks their bikes here, they're all just like on top of each other. It rains a lot. It's so easy for them to get scratched. And I assume I'll be using it like every single day, multiple times a day. And I just don't want to have the liability of worrying about it. Because I was relating it to when I had a BMW car, even though I loved it and I felt so luxurious and cool and confident when I was driving it, it kind of stressed me out. And leaving it parked downtown, it was just like always a worry of it getting scratched or broken into. And then when I was driving my dad's old pickup truck that's 25 years old and has some rust and is just lived a good life, it was nice not having to worry about the truck outside or if I was hauling stuff around, if I was going to break anything. So I took that lesson and applied it to bikes. I don't need anything fancy. I don't need some $3,000 bike. Something basic to get me from point A to point B is going to be just fine, especially for the foreseeable future until we really get settled here. So that is my mission today after I get some work done. And then one more update. I mentioned it about a month ago that I put one of my brands, the Omaha Local, on LinkedIn for sale. I just like made a little graphic post on LinkedIn like, hey, I don't live in Omaha anymore. So if someone local wants to buy this, it's for sale, send me an email. And I had a couple of people reach out. And after negotiating and talking with them about what they would want to do with it and getting to know them, I ended up choosing a girl named Devin. She is adorable. She's so creative. She's so talented. And she's also a local small business owner. So I just felt like that was such an aligned choice and that she would carry on the brand, honestly, even better than I ever did. And if you're like, what is that brand? Basically, I made an Instagram at the Omaha Local to share my favorite Omaha places and behind the scenes things. And I also had a TikTok with it and a website, but I had taken the website down. And I had some blog posts. I had a Google Drive folder of hundreds of photos and videos from over the years. I had done quite a few partnerships with businesses in Omaha through that. And it had a great era. Like, I loved creating that. I was really the first person in Omaha to do it. I started it back in 2019. Now there's a couple others who have like totally popped off and really committed to it, but I travel so much. And once I opened my shop and started the podcast, my effort just went into those things instead. And really, I was only holding on to it for emotional reasons because I was like, I started it and I don't know, it's nice to have. But I was like, I think it's time. And so I made the post saying it was for sale, worked out the details with Devin, and officially everything is done, signed. She paid. I gave her all the logins. Fully, it's in her hands now, and she's already been posting on there, and I can tell she's going to do such a good job. So I'm really excited about that. But after everything was done and finalized with the Omaha Local, and I completely handed it over, I thought it would be kind of sad, but honestly, I was really just happy because I wasn't giving it the attention it deserved and I literally don't live there anymore. So holding on to it just really didn't make sense. And it's better for the community and the idea of the brand for someone else to carry it on. So then it kind of sent me into second guessing if I should do that with my store that's in Omaha. And I debated if I wanted to say this, but in the spirit of being open and honest and even sharing parts of adulting, I've just been like, man, it felt so good to sell the Omaha Local and I'm going to be so happy for someone else to carry it on and get excited about it and it to have even more impact. And I'm like, man, am I doing my store a disservice by continuing to own it when I don't live there anymore? Now, on one hand, because there's so many pros and cons, I think I've done a really, really good job. I've been doing the reselling thing since 2019. So I have built systems and worked really, really, really hard to get to a point where I don't have to be there every single day. But that didn't come easy. That took so many risk-taking, redoing things, refining, going to other secondhand shops around the world. How can I be better? How do we fix this? How do we optimize this? How do we scale that? And I'm attached to it. Like, it has been a part of my life for so long. And I do love that the physical space keeps me tethered to Omaha, because Omaha will always be my hometown. It's where I'm from. It has my heart. And I like that it gives me an excuse to go back, because then I can see my family, I can see friends, I can do fun Omaha stuff, I can see the customers, shoot content at the shop. And being in a physical space that you created is way more rewarding to me than online stuff, because with online, I have a hard time conceptualizing the impact or the depth of things. But the physicality of a brick and mortar store is like, that makes me so happy. It makes me feel so rewarded and so fulfilled. And the shop does really well. Like, I'm really proud of what I've been able to create with many helping hands and our vendors and our employees and our customers who care. Like, it's a great community. But I'm like, man, should I sell it? Could someone who's local take it into a new era? And it's, I don't want to sell it. But I've been reflecting a lot on letting go and making space for new things. And maybe part of that is pregnancy. And also part of that is relocating from one country to another country. You can only gain more opportunities, more experiences, more challenges if you let go of stuff. And as life would have it, most of the time we don't know what we're going to receive until after we've let something go. It's kind of like the analogy with the cup on the table. If you have a cup sitting in a particular spot, like a glass with water in it, if you want to put something else in that exact spot, you have to move that glass. Otherwise, if you try to put the second glass on top, it's probably going to break. It's probably going to spill. There's no room for it. So you have to first remove one cup in order to make space for the second cup. And I see a lot of parallels with that in my own life over the years, where God, source, universe, myself, whatever, was asked to let go of something before I knew what was coming. And I'm wondering if this is that instance where there's these trickling in of thoughts of like, oh, maybe should I sell it? And I don't know what will be on the other side, but I have to trust that if I did, it would be equally as wonderful in very different ways. Yeah, it would make me, I think I would be really sad at this point still, because I love the shop, but I know that it is taking away from financial opportunities because I only have so much time. And because I'm not there physically at the shop, I've had to hire so many people, which means the vast majority of what comes into the shop money-wise, like, goes to the people that are there. I still do probably 10, 15 hours of work on it a week, but it's mostly just admin stuff, ensuring everything is smooth sailing, the accounting, some ordering of like supplies, ensuring the schedule is good. And if I was actually there in person, it would make me great money like New Wave used to. But now it's divvied up amongst so many different people, which I do think fits the collective model. Like, that is kind of the point. It's 1404 Collective. It's not supposed to be about any one person. It's supposed to be about all the helping hands involved. But because I structured it that way, and that means so many people are involved, I'm not really making very much from it. So if I were to sell it, it would be really validating to get a payout for the, oh my God, amount of effort I have put into the shop on a day-to-day, yearly basis for the last 6 years, building the brand, building our customer base, learning, refining, emotional investment, financial investment, mental investment, educational investment, the whole thing. And so it's kind of a long tangent, but that's just been something I've been thinking about right now. And I share it kind of afraid because I don't want this to reflect badly on the shop in any way, like I said. But I like keeping you guys in the loop about what's going on in my head and my heart. And that's just something that has kind of been weighing on me. So if anyone has bought or sold a small business that they really cared about and wants to shoot me a message and talk it through, I would greatly appreciate that because I don't know how to share that it would be for sale without it hindering the business. And I don't even know if I will be, because what if we can't stay in the Netherlands and we had to move back to Omaha? Then I would be like, oh my gosh, why'd they sell the shop? Like my baby, like, and then I'd have to open a whole nother business. I don't know. That sounds like a lot of effort when I already have one that I absolutely love so much. Anyway, deep breath. That's that. But on a lighter note, moving into peak of the week, I did go shopping. When I left Tulum, I basically took my entire Tulum wardrobe and I put it out at my store because the culture and the weather from Tulum, Mexico is very different to Amsterdam. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. Again, back to this letting go and making space for new things. Let go of literally my whole Tulum wardrobe with nothing else to replace it yet and was like, I'll figure it out when I get there. And so this week I went shopping for more weather appropriate because it's only like 65 here to where Tulum was like 90. So I needed more long sleeves, more pants. And now that I have a bump, clothes really fit different. I had to think like, oh, this doesn't just have to fit me today. What should I buy that's going to be flattering 2 months from now and is going to fit as I keep growing? But I love the items that I found. It was kind of exhausting, low-key, trying on so many different things and going to a bunch of different shops, but the effort was well worth it. And now I have pieces that I feel really like myself, comfortable, excited. They fit the city vibe here. And hopefully there will be more of that to come because there's so much good shopping here. And now time to share listener peaks of the week. Velvet said, only took 125 applications, 27 interviews in 7 weeks, but I landed my dream job. It's so aligned and exactly what I was hoping for. I have lots of incredible friends supporting me. Oh my gosh, what incredible perseverance. Congratulations. I think this is also very appropriate to today's episode of Adulting. Usually we would just hear, oh, I landed my dream job, but I love that you included that it took 125 applications, 27 interviews in 7 weeks, because that shows the raw reality behind what it takes to get exactly what you want in life. And I'm really excited for you. Mars said that she opened her first travel credit card. That is super, super exciting. I recently upgraded from the Venture to the Venture X. So I relate. I was obsessed with the Venture and now I'm even 10 times more obsessed with the Venture X. So I can totally understand how exciting that is. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box at Already Friends Podcast.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use. If you're selling anything online, get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now moving into today's topic of finding fun, finding joy, finding excitement in adulting, or just trying to remain positive when the responsibilities of adulthood really get going. I came up with five things that have really helped me over the years and that I think could help someone, no matter your age or stage, just find more joy and romanticizing in your day-to-day. The first one is expressing yourself through fashion. I remember when I first graduated college, I had kind of a closet crisis style because I was like, oh, I can't wear my college sorority stuff, like bottle service girl outfits, party girl outfits. I can't wear this stuff anymore. But I think it took it too far because I was like in my head thinking I could never wear a crop top again. I could never wear short denim cutoff shorts again, or just more traditionally items that people associate with like college students or someone 18 to 22. And so I bought what I thought was like a lot of mature items. I bought trousers and blazers and heeled boots because I thought, oh, I'm graduated. I'm in the work world now. I want people to take me seriously. But it's just like, that is not my style. And there's a way to dress mature, even with trousers and blazers, that for me, make me feel comfortable. Like if I were to wear a trouser and blazer now, I would want like a wide leg trouser, probably with like a New Balance sneaker, which is, it's funny I'm saying this, is literally what I'm wearing right now. And then like a big oversized blazer, like kind of making it more tomboy, roughing it up a little bit, maybe a messy bun. But I'm not like a polished, fitted trouser and blazer kind of gal. But I thought that's what I had to do for people to take me serious after I graduated. But then I went into the reselling niche. And so I opened my store, first New Wave, and then 1404 Collective. And I realized like, wait, I'm a vintage shop owner. I can wear whatever I want. I don't have to wear tight-fitting trousers and blazers and button-up shirts every day. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that. I was just like, I don't want to do that. And since I don't have to, by all means, I'm going to wear whatever I want, even if that's an oversized graphic tee with rip shorts, a ton of jewelry, and like tall boots, because I like it and it's fun. And how I'm practicing this today, even now at 30 and being pregnant, maybe I don't dress as, quote, mature as some of the peers my age. But since my work still allows me to dress however I want, more or less, I find it really enjoyable to have fun through the clothes I choose to wear. Like, for example, I will absolutely wear a trucker hat. I will wear ripped denim. I will show some skin. I will make more unusual combinations because to me, that feels comfortable expressing who I am. And I do think clothes are such an important part of how we choose to express ourselves and show up in the world. And at the end of the day, if you feel comfortable and you feel appropriate for the situation, I think it's going to make how you show up in that place, like with your spirit and your personality, shine through even more. Because for me, like, oh my gosh, when I went to a funeral last month and I had to dress very professional, I was so uncomfortable. I just couldn't be that present because I kept thinking like, man, I do not feel like myself. I would really love to go home and change. And life is too short to be thinking that about our clothes every day or multiple times a week. So I encourage you to let go of feeling the desire to have to follow a really strict dress code unless your work requires it, and have fun with it. Make it you, make it your own, and add some joy back into it. The second one, reconnecting with your inner child. What things did you love to do as a kid that would come naturally to you without trying? Maybe you were a Legos kid, or maybe you loved jumping on the trampoline. Did you enjoy a certain board game or activity? An example of how I'm practicing this now is I was at the thrift store last week and I got a puzzle. I'm not going to lie, I think we bit off more than we can chew. It's a 1,500 piece puzzle. Clay and I have been working on it for days, and we are not seeing the end of this. Like, it's going to be on the kitchen table probably for a month. I can't believe how many hours we put in, and we have like the border done and some other little sections. But it's fun because it's something to do that's not on our screens, where we can be doing the puzzle but still talk and catch up or multitask some other stuff or just walk by and work on it for a few minutes. It's really nice. And the third one, find joy in making your house a home. I truly think one of the best things about getting older is getting your own place and being able to decorate and set it up however you want. It's like freedom on a whole new level. And even if you're on a budget or you're renting, there are so many ways to add personal touches. Maybe you're someone who always wanted to have like 50 houseplants. Maybe you want to have a TV-less house that's centered around books and board games. Maybe you're obsessed with hosting, so you want to have like a huge table and deck out your outdoor area. Maybe you're a new parent, so your priority is setting up a nursery or an area for your kids. But it's just a weird shift because in youth, at least for me, how I thought about spending money was concerts, festivals, travel, going out, getting drinks with friends, what outfit I was going to wear for that weekend that I would never repeat again. And when I got my first apartment, it totally shifted. I used to get more excited about spending money on the things I just mentioned. And then I was like, wait, I'm so excited to buy kitchen stuff and a couch and blankets. And it just totally changed. And I think because as we get older, we realize our homes are such a reflection of who we are. They support our dreams and our hobbies. They comfort us after long days. They hold space for intimacy amongst our partners and our close friends and family. And it's just worth investing in making your living space how you want it so that it can support you in all the other areas of your life. And you can always work within your budget to make the space a little bit better. And it takes time, but with some creativity, we have Pinterest, magazines, TikTok. There's so many ways to get inspired and find renter-friendly or budget-friendly DIY or upgrades that can make a statement or really improve your space. How I'm currently practicing this is, even though we have no idea how long we'll be in the Netherlands, we made a list of what areas of the house are a top priority for us. Clay does his coaching calls at home, so immediately we had to get a desk that he could do his calls at. So that was one of the first purchases after the mirror, of course. Got it ordered, got it set up so that he could get back to doing his calls. I can do a lot of my work at a coffee shop, minus podcasting, because as long as I have a laptop with Wi-Fi, I can be out and about somewhere. But since he's meeting with clients, he has to have a quiet space where he can talk and work with them. So that was like a big priority for him. And then for me, I really want to make authentic, genuine friendships here, which I think requires you to allow people to see into your life more by coming over to your home. There's such a different level of intimacy when you always meet up with friends in public or
you only see them at yoga or a coffee shop versus inviting people into your home. I think it allows you and them to let their guard down more and cross like the threshold of, oh, we're not just yoga friends. We're like real life friends that go to each other's houses. And so I wanted a space where we could host people and I could have so much fun with it and feel confident in the hosting. And so I saw that as really decking out our backyard garden. And I'm just so excited to have our own garden area. The guys that came over when they delivered the couch, I was like, yeah, and do you want to see our little garden? And they like looked out the window and they were like, little garden? This is a big garden. Like for Netherlands standards, this is huge. I was like, I know, it's so cute. I got a big table with an umbrella, a rug, a smaller table. I still need to get plants. I did thrift some planters for them to go in, but I need to have like a gardening day, maybe next weekend. And then what else did we get? Well, I guess just a lot of the serving items, not just cooking stuff in the kitchen, but I wanted cute sets so that we could have four cups, four plates, four forks, you know, that all match to make a pretty scene. And then eventually I would really like a heater, a grill, and a pizza stone. Shout out Jessie. She has all of these things. Like I said, channeling what would Jessie do? We were texting this morning and I think she's going to come in July. But I mean, it doesn't have to cost that much. Like we've probably spent $1,000 so far on everything back there. Maybe by the time we get all the plants, heater, grill, pizza stone, maybe $2,000. But it's a space we will use every single day. And since the puzzle is taking over our inside kitchen table, we've literally eaten every meal at home outside since we got here. I just love eating outside. For some reason, makes it feel so much more fun to me. I mean, that is one by itself. I guess I could have made it its own category, is eating outside. Go for a picnic, set up in your backyard, going to rooftops. Something about enjoying a meal outside. Chef's kiss to me. I love it. And number four, have friends of all ages, some that are much younger and some that are much older. I think it's so helpful to have a variety of people in your corner as life presents different situations and challenges. You'll want different perspectives and feedback on life's challenges from a mixed group of people. Now, we are not just like in an echo chamber of friends that are all exactly like you, telling you what you want to hear. You can learn from them and grow. How I'm currently practicing this is having friends that are much older than me that have already gone through pregnancy and birth and had kids. And then I also have friends that are much younger than me that are still single and independent and traveling and up on the trends. And I love having this widespread because it's been super helpful having friends who have already started parenthood. And yes, they're there to like answer my questions and give advice, but even just seeing them live their life has been reassuring and helpful for me to have like an insight into what that will be like. And then on the flip side, having younger friends who remind me not to take things so serious and to still go out and explore the world and have fun with trends and try to be somewhat in the loop. But either way, it's still fun having a wide range of friendship ages around me. And the last one, number five, get help and outsource the parts of adulting that suck the life from your soul. We are not all meant to be good at everything and do everything ourselves. And that's literally what keeps the economy going. You focus on what you're good at and you pay other people to do the things you can't do or you don't want to do or you don't have time to do. And a reminder that it doesn't always have to be a full commitment. If you're having a particular busy season of work, maybe you have a dog walker for like that month, a couple days a week, just to give you a little bit of a break. Maybe you're new in parenthood and your in-laws are begging to help with childcare. And you're like, you know what? Maybe I will let them help. Maybe after a long work week, the last thing you want to do is cook for yourself. So you go out to a Sunday brunch to treat yourself and let someone else cook for you. There's so many ways that we can let other people help us that they actually want to help and it makes them happy. And then you get the benefits of being helped. This was a huge lesson that I've had to learn over the last few years. And now I'm like, wait, I actually love when people help me. So how I'm currently practicing this, when we lived in Tulum, I had my assistant for 3 months. She helped with peaches and errands, cleaning our house, because it was huge, in my opinion, for me, biggest place I had ever lived.
It had 3 floors, 2 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, a big kitchen. It was just like a lot to upkeep. It was just like a lot to keep up with. And so having her help with cleaning and errands and Peaches was really nice as Clay and I were getting settled into doing our new life together. Then we could really focus on how we wanted to go about pregnancy and parenthood and where we wanted to live and figure out our work schedules without having to do some of those day-to-day tasks that can just take up a lot of time. I love doing them, but that break for those couple months was really helpful. And then a more current example is that we let Clay's grandpa help with the purchase of my engagement ring and our home deposit, which was 2 months' rent, and some of the moving expenses. And while we were back in Omaha, my mom got us a rental car for a week, and she let us stay at her place. And my dad Venmoed me $300, took us out to eat a couple of times. It even like is so humbling for me to say that as a 30-year-old, because normally I have so much pride when it comes to finances. I'm better at letting people help me in a time sense, but receiving financial help is like just so humbling for me. But I wanted to share that because if you're looking at my life right now and you're like, wow, that was like a really expensive month. Yes, it was. And I'm super, super, super grateful that our families helped chip in to make it less stressful all around. And this has always been a dream of mine. And I think they all knew that and how much I cared about it. So they were happy to contribute to that. And then it made it not so stressful for us, which was just a cherry on top to already a dream come true. And so with that, I'll wrap up here. Thank you guys for bearing with me with a solo episode. They're hard. Sometimes I'm like, am I just rambling? I much prefer the conversational style with Kara and I together. I'm really, really glad we decided to start a podcast together so that we can bounce off each other and both contribute and give feedback. So hopefully this wasn't too painful to listen to. She will be back next week. We will do our What Would Your Bestie Do? So if you have any questions for us that you want advice on, go to our website, artyfriendspodcast.com. Go to the WWYBD tab and submit your question or situation. It's all anonymous, so you can be as unhinged as you want. And with that, I'm off to get some work done, go get a bicycle, let Clay have his desk back, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.